Some of you haven't been here all day. I don't know whether all of you have heard about our change in the program or not. Our convention program calls for Brother Stuart Sauer to speak to us at this time. And if any don't know it, Brother Stuart Sauer hasn't been very well. He wasn't able to be here. I believe that there's a card in the back of the room. There's one someplace, Brother, that Shirley Bruce has for us to sign. So if there's any that hasn't got their name on that, we're going to send the card to Brother Sauer. He wasn't able to be here. We're very sorry to not have him, but we have been blessed in having someone to take his place that we're sure we're all going to enjoy hearing. And so we're going to have the privilege now of hearing Brother McCauley. Brother McCauley has not given me his subject, but he did give me that hymn on the subject of peace. So I think we can sort of conclude that that will have something to do with it. Brother McCauley.
Subject which I would like to consider with you this afternoon has been before you all day. Peace. Not the peace which the world is vainly trying to establish. Not the peace which the nations are trying to established, but the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, and which shall keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and in the love of God. This is the peace that you and I have to seek to acquire. The peace of heart and mind which is not perturbed nor disturbed by the perplexing and troubled conditions in which we find ourselves. Because those who have this peace knows the peace which the world knows nothing about. Knows the tranquility of mind which is foreign to the time in which we find ourselves, because it is the author of it is the Prince of Peace. And surely we realize, dear ones, that this is the most important thing for us to attain, to have, because this is the blessed heritage which our Lord left us, left his immediate followers and us through them. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth you I unto you. No, the way the world gives peace isn't much good, is it? Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If our forebears were to come back from their sleep of death at the present time and find themselves in this condition in which you and I find ourselves, surrounded by fear and worry and uncertainty, the whole world of mankind is in distress and perplexity, know not what is coming. And they would find themselves in these conditions, would they say, let me go back where I was, where the wicked cease from troubling, and the weary are pressed. Every phase of human experience will be foreign to them. Yes, we travel over the country, and every once in a while we're confronted with a sign. If this country is engaged in war, or invaded, the highway on which you are now traveling will be closed to public traffic. You drive into the larger cities, and signs point you to air raid shelters, which are nothing more nor less than mousetraps. How obvious it is, dear ones, that not the acts of humanity or the council of nations or individuals is going to bring about this peace which our blessed Lord told us would come. But he who is the Prince of Peace will bring about that condition. He who speaks to the raging elements of the raging storms and waves on the Sea of Galilee and said, "Peace be still," will speak peace to the raging elements of human passion. Then there will be peace, and it will be permanent. Yes, we thank God for that assurance. Then will be fulfilled the prophecies concerning him. The prophet Isaiah speaks of him, and he says, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and among his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice forever." You'll no doubt notice the way I read that. The comma between wonderful and counselor should not be there. Wonderful has the same relationship to counselor that mighty has to God or everlasting has to Father. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. All this is a precious assurance to you and to me today, as we look over the conditions in the world and see how very remote that peace seems to be. It seems to be getting farther and farther away from this poor groaning creation every morning and evening that we look over the newspaper. But as a company of the Lord's people, as ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we would not be so much concerned about the condition in the world, the condition of fear and worry and uncertainty in the world, were it not for the fact that these conditions seem to be contagious, and it disturbs us, dear ones, when we come in contact with a company of the Lord's people where they have the same idea, the same fear, same worry, same uncertainty. What has happened? Have they lost something? Haven't they had the truth? Haven't they come to a knowledge and understanding of God's great plan of salvation in the same way that you and I did? Why this perplexity? Why this fear? Why this uncertainty? The psalmist, speaking of the mouthpiece of the Lord's people, says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore what? Therefore will not we fear. Why should we fear? If our loving Heavenly Father is our refuge, our fortress, and our deliverer, our God in whom we trust, why should we fear anything? And anything that I say from this platform is absolute. If I can say something that will allay that fear, if there is anyone who has it, or if I can say something that will fortify you against that fear, I will consider that our meeting together has been profitable. This is confirmed as we go about. The questions that confront us. How about the kingdom? Is it now established? Can we now enter into that kingdom, enter into the nucleus of that kingdom as it is supposed to exist today? How about Armageddon? Has it been fought, or is it yet future? What about the church? Is the church glorified? Is the church gone? Is the hub door shut? Is there no more opportunity for anyone to come into this relationship with God in Christ, pictured by the prayer of our blessed Lord in the 17th of John? That they may be one as we are, I in them and thou in me, that they may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me and hast won. Oh, I think this is the most wonderful statement of the Bible. That thou wouldst love them as thou hast loved me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine our Lord and Savior praying to the Father and saying, now Father, these are mine. These have come out from the world. Now Father, love them with the same love with which thou didst love me. It is hard for full finite minds to conceive of such a thing. And yet, this is what we have promised. But that's our Lord's prayer. Yes. And regarding the world's troubles and stress and fear, we can readily see how that is. The disturbing causes for fear and worry and uncertainty among the Lord's people today are many. There are many causes for it. The only safe and sure retreat is the admonition that our Lord gave to his immediate followers and to us through them. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that shall come to pass. No, we can change that tense today. Escape those things that are coming to pass right before our eyes. And to stand before the Son of Man. That does not mean, however, that we are to be always on our knees in prayer. But it means that we are to be in that heart condition where our minds and hearts are so attuned with the Lord that our thoughts will be His thoughts, that our desires will coincide with His purpose for us. That our mind and His mind are at one. Thus can we maintain our share of that blessed heritage which our Lord left us. This is a peace which we must seek, which we must strive to acquire. What a blessed heritage is ours. What are all the riches in the world compared with this? What is all the gold that is buried in Kentucky compared with this? That you and I can look at the conditions that are coming to pass without fear, without worry, without uncertainty, because we have absolute confidence in the Lord and in His promises. Yes, what a blessed heritage indeed. The blessed calm and tranquility, which is the blessed portion of all whose minds are stayed upon the Lord, whose mind is stayed, great peace of thee, which love thy law, and nothing shall offend us. Nothing shall offend them, did you say? That's what it says. Did you ever hear of anybody getting offended because he wasn't given a prominent position in the Lord's company? Did you ever see somebody offended because he was dropped out of the eldership for a time? Or because he wasn't elected out? Did you ever hear of anyone thus turning away from a company of the Lord's people and starting a little peanut stand of his own? Did you ever hear anything like that? Paul's wise counsel in Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 14th verse. Call up peace with all men. And holiness, without which none shall see the Lord. Should not put a chill through us, without which none shall see the Lord. That anything would hinder us, that anything would stop us from seeing the Lord. And the apostle here points out that securing peace with worldly associates at the expense of lowering our own standard of righteousness would mean a compromise, which we should never do. For if we do, we can depend upon it it will turn out to our disadvantage. Those who faithfully adhere to the principles of truth and righteousness cannot expect the friendship of the world. Our Lord told us that. If you are of the world will love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Just as soon as you come to think about things independently, we can look back in our Christian course and call to mind these experiences. I certainly can. I can look back when I was a prominent member of the Presbyterian Church. And I commenced to ask embarrassing questions. And I soon was dropped out of one thing after another. And I finally left. What happened to Jack McCauley? They're asking about him down in this meeting. He used to give his talks down there. What has happened to him? Oh, he went. He became a Raphaelite. Can you imagine such a thing? He became a Raphaelite. Wouldn't have anything to do with him. Don't have anything to do with him. Don't talk with him. When you see him on the street, don't talk with him. But those who faithfully adhere to the principles of truth and righteousness, while they can expect the favor of the favor of the world, or they will have the privilege, if we hold fast to the confidence of our hope, they will have the privilege in the age to come to lead those who have ill-treated them, who have done such despiteful things to us. How are they going to treat them? When they come to us, I'll get even with them. Hey, I remember the time when you called me all kinds of names. I remember the time when you persecuted me, and you turned my mother against me. I can recall that. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Get out. Get out right now. Is that it? Oh no, no. That's where we have to show. That's when we will have to show the love which you and I have developed at this time. That's when we will be proven worthy of the position to which the Lord has called us. When we manifest the love for those who have despitefully used us. Yes. And so we see how very essential it is that you and I cultivate that love which is first pure, then peaceable and easy to be treated, full of mercy and good fruit. The love that wanteth not itself is not puffed up, does not behave unseemly. The love that will last when everything else dwindles away from us. Yeah. The confiding mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace because what? because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord into eternity, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The prophet foretold of the coming of the Messiah. And what did he say about himself when he did come? When I come, everything will be just beautiful. Everything will be peaceful and harmonious. All this turmoil and strife among nations and kingdoms will have passed away. Was that it? Oh, no. That isn't what he said. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall betray his own household. This brings to mind the perplexing times which you and I had when we first came to a knowledge of the truth. We used to belong to some this sect, or we used to be in some kind of a creedal bed, and oh, we were quite prominent in the creedal bed. And then we commenced to lose our popularity. Yes. Didn't want to have anything more to do with us. You know, our blessed Lord gave us so many beautiful pictures. You know that he used a whole nation to enact dramas and tasks and pictures which are intended for your learning and mine. Not only just individuals, but whole nations. He was the master of ceremonies in giving them the experience that would enable you and me to see the course that we were called to. And as we say, he didn't leave a stone unturned. He gave us all that was necessary for you and for me to make our calling and election sure. And one of the beautiful pictures that he gave to us, that it caused to be written, is the Songs of Solomon. The bridal anthem between Christ and his bride, the church. And in the third chapter of the Songs of Solomon, the bride is speaking. And she is telling about her experience in this creed bed. And she said, by night upon my bed, oh yes, by night. It was night, it was dark when you and I commenced to have our minds enlightened. By night upon my bed, on this creed bed, I sought him whom my soul loved. I sought him, but I found him not. He was not there. As long as we remained on that creed bed, we couldn't find him. I'm going to write now and go about the city, in the street, in the broad way. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I visited one church after another, but they were all the same. So, I had to leave. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Oh, there is none about it. It was but a little. It was but very soon after I had separated myself from him. I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. All the joy that filled our hearts at that time. There is no more precious memory in the minds and hearts of the Lord's consecrated people than the day when we descended into the water to symbolize our consecration before a company of the Lord's people. Oh, that's a precious memory. It was but a little that I separated myself from them, but I found him, my soul lover. I held him and would not let him go. Yes, that was the experience that we had. The inspired prophet, in looking down the stream of time to the time in which you and I find ourselves, says, "Come, my people, enter into thy closet. Shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no longer cover her slain." Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, 13th and 14th verses. "Come, my people, enter into thy chamber. Enter into the secret place of the Most High. And under the shadow of the Almighty, enter into that secret place. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. Receive the wisdom of that admonition. For surely we need to shut out the turmoil and the strife of nations and individuals and groups, and to have to shut out that noise so that we ourselves may not be so contaminated with that noise that we will become discomforted and fall in with their ideas." In the 26th chapter of Isaiah, in the 3rd verse, we read, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." I will keep him in perfect peace. And so this heritage has been committed to your trust and mine. The church nominal has failed ignominiously and pitiably to penetrate the hearts of man or to create in its adherents a desire for peace, a temperament for peace. If we have a glowing ardent love for peace, it is because the Prince of Peace is our companion and friend. And the day star has arisen in our hearts. Yes. And has given us our share of that blessed heritage of which the world knows nothing about. Gave to his immediate followers and to us through them. And who should be more interested in peace than the young ones in our midst? The young ones who, as you and I, who are old enough to look back to 1914 and call to mind the fine young men that were whisked off into barracks to learn the art of killing. Then to be shipped into filthy trenches to be hacked and butchered and maimed. The young men who came back aghast and blinded. Yes, who should be more interested in peace today than the young in our midst? Who are shipped off to be killed by the hundreds? And do you notice it's not at all nearly as prominent in newspapers as it used to be? Oh, First World War and Second World War, their list was given, and the bravery of these young men and all that was painted very, very brightly on the pages of the newspapers. Today you have to look at two or three pages before you find it. Yes, the rising generation of today who rush madly for worldly pleasures, to drink deeply at its fountain while the drinking is good, while they can, oblivious of the disaster that is impending in the world today, which even the worldly wise see coming and are wholly impotent to avert. Yes. How is that peace of mind and heart of the Lord's people disturbed? Or how are we robbed of it in this time? The world is full of trouble. There is not a nation on earth today that have their wars and their strikes and their revolutions. The trouble of this country, the troubles of this country are many. And from many sources, the trouble with the colored people. Now, you can understand that. There's some division there. The colored and the white. And you can sympathize with one side or the other. But you know, coming west this time, I've been very much impressed with the fact that we are not heading for anarchy, we are in anarchy. We are in anarchy. We are not approaching it, we are not heading for it, we are in it. I call them a farmer. One of the largest dairy farmers in the country, in the southwest corner of Wisconsin, by the name of Billman's, a very fine family, and they have a large family, and they milk around between 90 and 100 cows, and of course they're busy all of them. And they are not able to attend meetings as they would like to. But they have meetings in their own homes. Regular meetings in their own homes. Just 7 or 8 of them. And they are glad to see when they see somebody coming who will be a blessing to them by the Lord's grace. And he was telling me about the conditions among the farmers. There was a group who were determined that they were going to gain control of the distribution of milk. And they were to deliver the milk to them wholesale. And they have had meeting after meeting, and no agreement, at least when I was there. And he told me that it came from one of those meetings, and he was told, if you don't fall in with our ideas, you will come home one of those nights and you will find the barn, your barn, burned to the ground. What is that? Isn't that anarchy? And these men, these farmers, that large supply of milk that he had, they were going to spill their milk the following Monday morning. They were going to spill their milk. And he said that there would be bloodshed before this was settled. Oh, I don't know how it has progressed since. Now then, how do we, as the Lord's people, lose that blessed heritage which our Lord left us? That we are in the day of the Lord, that can be no question. This know also then in the latter days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-speaking breakers, despisers of them that are good. But in the midst of it all, the Lord's truly consecrated people are to keep calm, keep cool, keep tranquil in the face of it all. Now the psalmist gives us many very beautiful pictures of the attitude that we are to be in when we see this condition coming by. And you know what it says? I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Now let me tell you, dear friends, that's not going to be an easy job. It's not going to be easy. We are not going to maintain that peace and calm and tranquility by our skill or ability in arguing with someone and putting them right and showing how they're wrong and how we are right. It's not going to amount to that much. You and I are to maintain that peace and calm and tranquility in the face of these conditions, and nothing will disturb us. That's the idea of it. I will keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked is before me. Now, the wicked there, it doesn't mean the wicked in the sense in which we speak of wickedness. I think unlawful would be more near the original meaning of that word. Unlawful. Yes, the world cannot see the conditions that is coming to pass. They feel wholly impotent to avert it. Where is the peace of mind and heart which was yours and mine when first we found the Lord? Do we still have it? Can we now come to the throne of grace and lift our hearts to God in thanksgiving that He has revealed to you and to me that which the whole groaning creation knows nothing about? you and I have come to this time, and it is for us to carefully and prayerfully consider the course that is required of us in this evil day. Just hold on for a little bit longer. The way is getting narrow, and the time is getting short. And I think anyone and everyone who has given careful consideration to the conditions that are existing in the world today will agree with me that we're drawing near to the final crash. And that when that time comes, it will not be a question of who shall fall, but who shall stand. And our Lord pointed that out to us when he said that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. But he has permitted this trial, these trials to come upon us, so that what? So that that which cannot be shaken may remain. That's what he's at. Those who cannot be shaken. Yes. How could we possibly pray thy kingdom come and at the same time try to perpetuate the evil conditions of the present time? Oh, this is the most blessed heritage, dear friend. This perfect peace and confidence is twofold. It is first peace with God, which is the condition of mind of the child of God in having his sins forgiven and being reconciled to God. He enters into that peace and rest which the Apostle Paul speaks about in the 5th chapter of Romans, the first verse, using the diagogue framework. Having been justified therefore by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the same connection, he speaks of the peace of God. Now, the peace of God has a deeper meaning and is a more significant term. It means of the state of mind of the one so kept is in that same tranquil, undisturbed, unperturbed condition that the mind of the Heavenly Father is in. Nothing can happen in his universe that will, for a moment, disturb him or disturb his tranquility. He knows the end from the beginning, and he is at the helm, and nothing can happen but by his permitting. And you call to mind the wonderful prayer of our Lord in the 17th of John. Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. So also with us. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. This tranquility of mind and heart was illustrated in the life, or exemplified in the life, of Martha and Mary. Both had peace with God because he who alone could say, thy sins were forgiven thee, was their companion whom they loved and who was their guest and who loved them. Yes. But Mary had the peace of God, the peace which could not be disturbed by the distracting cares of the present time. And Paul in Philippians, the fourth chapter, in the sixth and seventh verses, says, be not over anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm going to read that to you from an American translation. It is very simple and beautiful. Don't worry about anything whatsoever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer. And the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your heart and mind as they rest in Christ Jesus. Here is a last piece of advice. If you believe in goodness, and if you value the approval of God, fix your mind on whatever is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and praiseworthy. Model your conduct on what you have learned from me, on what I have told you and shown you, and you will find that the God of peace will be with you. The psalmist beautifully expresses this. I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, makest me to dwell in safety. Yes, and the child of God can say that, whether it be in the sleep of bodily rest or in the sleep of death, in the one as in the other, the child of God can approach without fear, without worry. That was Peter's experience. He was sleeping peacefully between two soldiers, chained to a soldier on both sides. And sleeping soundly. So soundly indeed that the angel of the Lord had to nudge him and wake him up. Wake up, Peter, put your sandals in your feet. And you can imagine Peter rubbing his eyes and wondering what kind of a dream this was. My feet in the stocks, and I had to put my sandals on my feet. Oh no, they're free. Well, I'll put my sandals on. No doubt he'll lead me through some back alley. Or somewhere where they won't see us. Oh no. Nothing of the kind. He led him through the main corridor, and the doors and the bars swung open before them, as if to do obeisance to the heavenly messenger, whom Christ and Peter and his angelic companion walked out in the street. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord. Why should we fear? Yes. Now I'm going to cite a little clipping from a letter written by our dear brother Barton. Some of you are old enough to recall Brother Barton. The nearest to Brother Russell that I ever knew. I'm grateful to the Lord that I had the privilege of knowing. And Brother Barton got an idea. And oh, it was a good one. He was quite confident that it was a good idea, and it was inconsistent with Brother Russell's teachings. And he undertook to write Brother Russell about it. And Brother Barton replied to Brother Russell's writing. Now, dear Brother Russell, if you have anything that even halfway looks like proof that I am wrong in these suggestions, I think that it would be better for me to drop it altogether as far as presenting these things to the friends concerned, as we can't afford to risk stumbling a brother. Stumbling our brethren with doubtful interpretation. We cannot afford to risk stumbling our brethren with doubtful interpretations. Oh, dear friends, would God that we had more brethren among us like that. The peace of God emanates from us and influences those with whom we come in contact. If we have this peace in our own hearts and minds, we cannot but influence others. Influence is the power that flows from us and upon us and transforms us into itself. It is of two kinds, conscious and unconscious. Conscious is that which we knowingly bring to bear upon another. The influence which emanates from us and influences others. Unconscious is that which flows out from us without our being aware of it. The latter is the more powerful, and no one can come in contact with us without being influenced by our fellowship, either for right or for wrong. May the Lord bless to our hearts this consideration of His Word this afternoon. May the smile of His love and approval be upon your dear ones here as you come in contact one with another as you meet together for meditation and study of His Word, as you meet together in testimony, prayer and testimony, and in your homes and in your places of work. May His smiling smile of love and approval be upon you and watch over you day by day until the day dawns and the shadows flee away. Lord bless you, one and all.
We thank Bill McCulley for these words on peace. We didn't realize when I mentioned the scriptures to our right when I first got up here that Brother McCulley was going to talk on that, but it was nice to have it there, though. Seems like everything works together.
Our God and Father in heaven, glorious in holiness and righteous in judgment, we come before Thee in reverence and humility, and in the name of Thy dear, beloved Son, who would unite our hearts and voices in worship and praise with Thy heavenly hosts, to praise Thee and to magnify Thy great and holy name for all Thy wonderful works in the children of men, and the glorious majesty of Thy kingdom, and the many ways in which Thou hast blessed our efforts in our fellowship together. We pray now for Thy continued favor and blessing to us, as we separate one from the other. May the angel of Thy presence watch over us and keep us in the way everlasting. Dismiss us now with Thy blessing. Lord, remember the fall of Thy dear ones on beds of sickness. Be near unto them with the comfort of Thy grace and with the assurance of Thy love and favor. And now dismiss us with Thy blessing, and given Thy love and mercy wherein we come short, in part word of Thee. For we ask it and give Thee all the praise in the name and through the merit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.